Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وتراصوا kindly straighten your rows and shoulders don't gap in between.
Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Inshallah, after the remaining adhkar, there will be a short reminder. All brothers are requested to stay behind and participate. And just generally, anyway, inshallah, in Ramadan, we should try to spend as much time in the masjid as possible. Being in the masjid is like a safety net. So long as we're in the protection of the masjid, then it eliminates all the possibilities to involve ourselves in any wrongdoing outside of the masjid. So whether you want to stay behind and listen to this short reminder, or just stay behind and recite some Quran, then that's completely, absolutely fine. But inshallah, just a few tips to stay occupied in positive ways. Jazakumullah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم علمنا مما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح respected brothers elders السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Point of these reminders, inshallah, is to not just have a routine Ramadan. Our Ramadans that we have been doing for many, many years, how many of us can truly say that each year has been slightly different? Each year I've noticed somewhat of a change in the way I've become outside of that Ramadan. The only way, or the whole point of this, is that when you step out of this, what happens is, one thing is adah, and one is ibadah. When we do things out of adah, when something is habitual, it's like there's no real connection with that thing. A person, they may go through periods of dieting, intermittent fasting, where they're used to, you know, the how we are undergoing large periods without food and drink. And then he's not really, you know, he's thinking to himself that, okay, I can manage this, and then he's just behaving normally as usual. But then this is habit. When does habit turn into worship? It's very similar wordings. Ada, ibadah. Now, it happens when we have an intention. What takes something out of habit and turns it into an action of worship is when we have this small thing called niyyah. when we attach ourselves mentally with our heart, mind and soul, and we approach a particular action, no matter how many days we may have been doing with fasting, whether for religious reasons or for dietary reasons, but when in the month of Ramadan, we should be really, really locking in mentally and finding this month to be a situation where we are going above and beyond the ordinary fast. And this is how Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, he has categorized fasts of 3 degrees. He has mentioned that the ordinary fast, the fasting of just an ordinary person, is merely staying away from food, drink, and permissible sexual desires, i.e. with one's spouse. And the second degree above is the extraordinary fast, and that is for a person to keep one's ears, eyes, tongue, hands, feet, and all other organs away from sin. This is the difference. And just by doing this, you've taken yourself out of the ordinary people, the common folk, and you've put yourself into a category of elite people. There's a third degree, but this is a very, very difficult one. And this is something that people that have a lot of high aspiration, they have a lot of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as the Anbiya alayhi salam and the righteous salihin, this is perhaps their level. And what is it? It's the perfect degree of fasting. For a person to fast from the heart, how? From all unworthy concerns, worldly thoughts, in total disregard of everything except Allah. This kind of fast is broken by thinking of worldly matters, subhanAllah, except for those conducive to religious ends, since these constitute provision for the hereafter and are not of this lower world. Now, how many of us can attain such a level of fast where even our thoughts are constantly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not engaged in things which are of futile matters? A very beautiful hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. From the most excellent portion of a person's level of religion, in the sense that you have people of various degrees of their iman and their closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ones that are on the higher end, the top tier, the upper tier, are those who go to the extent to say, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, from the excellent portion of a person's deen is for an individual to abstain, to stay away from, to abandon, to have no concern of anything that has no regard to him. It's remotely not connected to him at all. So many times conversations take place and we hear something interesting and we bring ourselves, we invite ourselves to a particular conversation. No one invited us, but we want to say that a few words, we want to show that perhaps we may display a level of expertise and, you know, boost our ego a little bit. So many situations, conversations where people are gossiping regarding other people's situation. You know, our spouse, you know, they might be on their group chat with their sisters and the family folk and they're having their conversations, and the husband catches wind of something and then he's, oh, what did they say? What did she say? You know, what's happening over there? It happens, doesn't it? You know, stay completely away. Stay away from the juicy gossip. This is, you know, if a person does this, then you are implementing a very, very high level of iman. The more we practice upon these sort of things, the more we practice upon these sort of things, then the greater, larger portions, the things which are of sinful nature, then alhamdulillah, we can then more likely save ourselves from those kind of situations. To top it off, on top of that, a worldly benefit, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions also as well. He says that, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah, wazhad fi ma inda an-nas yuhibbuka an-nas, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, stay away. Zahid, zuhud means to not have an attachment. Be completely disconnected from the world and then you will earn Allah's love. I.e. we will obviously live through this world through whichever means we need and sustain ourselves. But it doesn't mean that the infatuation and its complete obsession enters into our hearts. We use the means without it affecting our inner selves. And then Allah will love us. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and stay away and be zahid and be disconnected from those matters which concern other people, and the people will love you. i.e. the more you show that you don't take interest in people's personal situations and their lives and asking intrusive questions, the more and more a person will earn respect, the more people have respect and honor for you as an individual, that you know what, mashallah, every single time this brother's around, he never makes me feel uncomfortable. And subhanAllah, so many times I'm sure there's that one relative that you're just, you know, scared to go visit them because, you know, perhaps you've not had a child for many years, for whatever reason, only you and Allah know. And then when you go in front of them, you're always conscious, are they going to ask that question? How comes you haven't had a child yet? X, Y, Z. People ask so many intrusive types of questions. How much money do you earn? And these sort of things. And they're asking, oh, why don't you do this job or that job? You know, all these sort of, you know, intrusive things. A person, he's set up his life in his own way of, you know, what he feels is befitting. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions as well. What does he say? Look at this. He says, أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِأُمُورِ دُنْيَاكُمْ. You can use this as well one day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, he advised one of the sahaba that perhaps if you were to do your gardening in a particular way, then it might bring or yield more fruits. So then that sahabi, he actually went and listened to the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and done as he was advised. But then later on, the sahabi came, oh, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you mentioned that I should do things a particular way, but unfortunately this is not the way which will actually yield more fruits. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنْتُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِأُمُورِ دُنْيَاكُمْ. You all are more aware of the matters of your dunya. Meaning, when it comes to worldly matters, when it comes to matters to do with, you know, job, career, whatever have you, or social things, then these are situations that a person, if he has expertise and if he has know-how, then he is best placed to be able to make a sound judgment. Even if, you know, you might go to a mufti, you might go to an imam, you might go to a scholar, but they are not privy to, you know, life's problems at large. One imam, he is not a, you know, marriage counselor all the time. He's not a business solution. He can't offer you a business plan. He can't offer you so many different aspects to your life. He may be able to identify the legal Islamic matters pertaining to a particular situation. When it comes to business, then he can point out matters to do with riba, interest, you know, invalid transactions. When it comes to marriage, he may be able to point out, okay, the rights of a husband and a wife are X, Y, Z. But he's not going to tell you, you know, you have to go on date nights and you have to say particular chat-up lines to your wife or whatnot, right? So these are many, many areas, many fields of our lives that you as an individual may have more knowledge about. You may not necessarily need particular advice. So the way it can come in your favor in the next situation you come across, that even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that you are more aware of the matters of your worldly things. So Jazakallah, but you don't need to interfere and ask me so many intrusive questions. We'll leave it at that. And be brave as well enough to kind of say, it's okay. If it's okay, then I prefer not to answer that question. Politely and respectfully, then inshallah we carry on. Sometimes you've got to be a bit confident and find the right formula of words as well. So, this is obviously connected to Ramadan somehow. We come a long way from wherever we started from, but inshallah hopefully that was beneficial as well. So going back, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he mentions regarding extraordinary fasting and perfect fasting. So we connect ourselves to our Ramadan with a particular mindset. Now there's one very amazing narration. It's not a narration, but it's from Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali rahimahullah, where he mentions regarding fasting. And he mentions the foolish individuals. He says, وَهَؤُلَاءِ السُّفَهَاءِ يَسْتَثْقِلُونَ رَمَضَانَ لِإِسْتِثْقَالِهِمُ الْعِبَادَاتِ فِيهِ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ فَكَثِيرٌ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْجُهَّالِ لَا يُصَلِّي إِلَّا فِي رَمَضَانَ إِذَا صَامَ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ لَا يَجْتَنِبْ كَبَائِرَ الذُّنُوبِ إِلَّا فِي رَمَضَانَ فَيَطُولُ عَلَيْهِ وَيَشُقُّ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ مُفَارَقَتُهَا لِمَأْلُوفِهَا فَهُوَ يَعُدُّ الْأَيَّامَ وَاللَّيَالِي لِيَعُودُوا إِلَى الْمَعْصِيَةِ وهؤلاء مصرون على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون فهم هلكا ومنهم من لا يصبر على المعاصي فهو يواقعها في رمضان. Okay, this is quite amazing. I will end on this one. So he mentions there are ignorant juhal amongst us, and this is a person who was alive about, let's say, I don't know, beyond 607 years ago, beyond that perhaps. Yeah, in fact, yeah, closer to 800-900 years ago. So he says these are foolish individuals. They take Ramadan to be a burden because of the fact that they take worship in Ramadan to be a burden, from salah, tahajjud. Obviously, Taraweeh salah is 20 rakats. People can't hack that, so they create a whole ruckus and they disturb the prayer after 8 rakats. This is another situation that I would like to touch upon. But very quickly, okay, no, I'll speak about that tomorrow, another day, inshallah. But anyway, 20 rakats, inshallah. Min as-salati was-siyam. So they take it as a burden, fasting and taraweeh salah. فَكَثِيرٌ مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْجُهَالِ. And majority of these juhal, these ignorant people, they don't even pray except in Ramadan. They don't even pray except in Ramadan. We can see it visually, isn't it? We see it visually, unfortunately. So this is advice from centuries ago, very, very applicable, if not more applicable today. So he says, إِذَا صَامَ وَكَثِيرٌ مِنْهُمْ لَا يَجْتَنِبْ كَبَائِرَ الذُّنُوبِ. And they say, whenever they are fasting, many of them, they don't even refrain from major sins, except in Ramadan. They only stay away from major sins, only in Ramadan. And then when they end up staying away from major sins in Ramadan, then it becomes too long. وَيَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ. And then staying away from those sins and the familiarity of it, it becomes so difficult upon them. So what do they end up doing? They start end up counting their days, and they're counting their nights. They're counting, when can I next go and see such person, or when can I start reaching out to, you know, another girl, let's say. There's young children over here, but I'm going to say how it is. Okay, this is how, unfortunately, we are. So he says that people are counting down the days so that they can return to those sins. And they are musir. Musir is a person who is very, very stubborn and very, very insistent on doing a particular sin. And these are individuals, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them in the Quran as well, that they don't earn the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They only do lip service, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. When they're doing this, there's no real effort that they make to pluck themselves away from a particular sin. So when a person is doing so, and they're thinking they're making dua, but they are musir, they're still insistent, this is not going to work. You know, you have to completely make an effort, find a strategy to stay away from particular sins. Only then you can actually understand and hope that the tawbah that you've done will be accepted and the past sins will be forgiven. So they are like this, عَلَى مَا فَعْلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they know. So what do you say? These people, فَهُمْ هَلْكَ. They have been destroyed. There's no hope for them. These kind of people, they are destroyed. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَا يَصْبِرُ عَلَى الْمَعَاصِي. And from amongst them are those, they can't even bear patience or persevere away from the sins. So what ends up happening? He ends it by saying, فَهُوَ يُوَاقِعُهَا فِي رَمَضَانَ as well. And they say that from amongst them, there are some even, they also commit these major sins in the month of Ramadan as well. So what we see from the beginning part of Imam Al-Ghazali and this little paragraph over here, that we need to stay away from obviously sins, but we need to make a differentiation between making just a habitual Ramadan, making a cultural Ramadan, a customary Ramadan, and apply our minds and souls and hearts into it, and really, really pinpoint particular sins. And this, inshallah, will be at least the second degree of fasting, and that was termed as the extraordinary level, where a person's entire limbs abstain from sins as well. One of the main things that I would like to mention is our mobile phones, our gadgets. Myself as well, I've made it, you know, even if there's, you know, YouTube links and these sort of things, I won't even go to any YouTube videos, because you may press something and it might have a talk or a bayan, but below that or straight away an ad might pop up, and just by that one glance, you know, you don't know how many actions of yours have just become spoiled by that one glance, right? Because your eyes, they are windows to your heart. Whatever your eyes are seeing is recording and saving in your heart. And this is then going to have an effect on the way you feel, the way you think, your spirituality, your inclination towards doing good deeds. It's very, very important that we safeguard our gaze and our eyes. Very, very important. And of course, we're living in a time where obviously mobile phones is part and parcel of our life. There's no getting away from it. You know, there was a time where if you were 16 and you had a mobile phone, then it would be a case of, you know, you stole it, or you know, your older uncle gave it, or your older brother, and then you had to hide it from your parents. And what was it? It was only a brick phone anyway. It was nothing to do with it. It was just text message and call. Even then you had to hide it from your parents, because you managed to kind of find some contraband somewhere, right? And you can't even do anything with that. But now, obviously, parents, they give them the smartphones at, you know, very early age, 9, 10, 11 years of age. It happens. So this is a different world, basically. So you need to find a way to identify what is bad for me and be able to understand that, you know what, life wasn't always like this. So the way other people manage in different eras, of course, it means that I need to put this away. I need to find a way to avoid particular things which will spoil and ruin my Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanallah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah.